Welcome to the True North Community Church Podcast.
All right, so this is week two in a three-week message series. And I know if you're new, you know, it's kind of like, wow, what is this? What's this about? Here's what we're doing. You may have noticed in our culture that everyone wants to get rich, right? Everybody would love to get rich, and there's lots of people that want to help you get rich. Everybody wants to help you get rich, and for $99.95, they'll tell you how, right? They'll sell you a product, they'll sell you a system, they'll sell you a series of tapes or something that you can kind of dive into. Does anyone use tapes anymore? I shouldn't have said tapes. DVDs, I just showed my age. So you know what I'm talking about though, right? Everybody wants to sell you a program that'll help you get rich. Everybody wants to get rich, but nobody ever talks about how to be rich. And nobody ever talks about what it means to be rich and when it is that we become rich. And so what some people do is they chase the idea of getting rich their whole life, and then they finally get rich and they're no good at it because nobody ever taught them how to be rich. And I bet each one of you knows somebody who's rich, but they're no good at being rich. You know what I'm talking about? You know what I mean by that? Right? And so, and then sometimes we can chase the idea of getting rich our whole life and actually cross the line and get there, but we don't know when we got there because no one ever told us where the line was. And so what we're going to do this week and next week with our time remaining is we're going to talk a little bit about how to be rich. And I don't say this a ton, but if you didn't hear last week's message, I want to encourage you to go back and kind of dial it in. You can download that stuff or stream it or kind of take it in however you like, but just so you kind of get caught up. We're going to talk a little bit about what it means to be rich. Now, we discussed last week quickly the idea that nobody ever wants to admit that they're rich. What's up, Dan? You did. That's my friend Dan's here. Clap it up for Dan. It's good. You should have warned me, man. Okay, so it's the beard. Okay, so everyone, nobody ever wants to admit that they're rich. Being rich is something we don't admit to, right? Rich people are like, we associate being wealthy with guilt. You know, if you ever read a story in the Bible and it begins with "there once was a rich man," that guy's never a good guy, right? So like, there's sort of like we have this association with guilt, and so nobody ever thinks that they're rich. Everybody always thinks somebody else is rich. So the Gallup organization did some research a few years back, and they found that if you earn $37,000 a year, you don't perceive yourself to be rich. Your answer to that question, well, then who's rich, is somebody who earns $75,000 a year. If you make 37K, to you, a rich person is somebody who makes 75K. So you can't, if you earn $37,000 a year, you can't fathom the idea that a person could earn $75,000 a year and still feel financial pressure. But people who earn $75,000 a year, when they were interviewed, and the interviewer said, "Hey, are you rich?" And they went, "No way, I'm not rich." Well, then who's rich? Well, this guy's rich. And they pointed to somebody who earns $150,000 a year. You follow? If you earn $75,000 a year, it's inconceivable to you that somebody could earn $150,000 a year and still feel financial pressure. But it went that way on and on and on, all the way to the top. And it almost seemed like everybody was pointing to somebody else. Even when we got to super wealthy people, people who you and I would consider super wealthy were still pointing upward. And it was almost like everyone's just going to point all the way up until we get to Bill Gates. And Bill Gates is the only person on earth who's allowed to be rich. Everybody else is pointing to someone else. You follow? Everybody thinks it's someone else. And what we kind of talked about last week was this. If you earn $37,000 a year, you are in the top 4% of the world's wealthy. You're in the top 4% of the world's wealthy at 37K per year. And I know you don't feel that. You don't feel super rich, but that's the truth. And that's because there are billions of people right this second living in poverty, real poverty. If you bump it up just a little bit, just a little nudge, make 45K a year, that puts you in the top 1% of the world's wealthy right now. You just made it. You're in the 1%. The problem is we don't feel rich because we're always looking at somebody else who's richer than us, and we don't feel rich because we live on Long Island, right? And there's extra standards for Long Islanders, aren't there? Come on. There's extra standards. For us, being rich means a little something extra, right? So we're always trying to chase, getting rich, and we don't ever realize, hey, that we made it. Now, it may surprise you to learn that there are some verses in the Bible that are aimed specifically at rich people, right? And you always thought, well, I thought the whole Bible was for everybody. Isn't the whole thing for everybody? Actually, no. If you're poor, you can totally ignore these verses. There are some verses in there that are specifically for rich people. And your whole life, when you read these verses, if someone ever read these verses to you or you ever read them for yourself, you always thought these verses were for somebody else. So for many of you, you've been going to church your whole life and the pastor says, well, teach the rich people to do this and do that. And you've listened to these verses and you've thought to yourself, yeah, those rich people should listen to that. Those rich guys out in the Hamptons, they should pay attention to this. This is important for them. And the truth is, these verses are for us. So what's going on? What we're dialing into today is the Apostle Paul is training his young kind of mentee, Timothy. Timothy is a young pastor and he's got a church, and Timothy has some people in his church who are wealthy, and Paul is trying to teach Timothy, here's how you help your wealthy people, because they're going to have some extra temptations, they're going to have some extra pressure that poor people don't wrestle with. Here's what you tell them, Timothy. And this is 1 Timothy chapter 6, beginning at verse 17. Teach those who are rich in this world not to be proud and not to trust in their money, which is so unreliable. Their trust should be in God, who richly gives us all we need for our enjoyment. Tell them to use their money to do good. They should be rich in good works and generous to those in need, always being ready to share with others. By doing this, they will be storing up their treasure as a good foundation for the future so that they may experience true life. I love that the goal of all the teaching is that they may experience true life. They being the rich people. Tell the rich people, if they don't do some of this, they're not going to experience true life. They're just going to think that their riches are true life. They're going to think that all the good stuff is going to come from their wealth, and they're going to miss some of the best that life has to offer because they're just obsessed with this stuff. And so the first cautionary thing he brings, it's just amazing. Did you pick this up? The very first thing that Paul says to Timothy when talking about the wealthy is, teach them not to be proud, Timothy. Tell them not to be arrogant. And it's almost like you could look at Paul from way back when and go, well, how did he know? How did he know that wealthy people tend to be, have you noticed that wealthy people tend to be a little bit more arrogant? Have you observed that in your life? Sure you have, right? And that's because, listen, there are two temptations that rise up for wealthy people. Two big, big, big temptations that rise up for wealthy people. If you're wealthy, you are going to be tempted, right? You're going to be tempted to be a little, I hate that thing, I'm sorry. If you're going to be tempted, you're going to be tempted if you're wealthy to lean into your wealth, and you're going to be tempted to be a little bit more arrogant. You will be tempted to lean into your wealth and lean away from God, and you're going to be tempted to be a little bit more arrogant. There is a sense of entitlement that comes with wealth. There's an insidious quiet. We don't think it's happening, but it is. There's something inside of us that thinks if we're wealthier, we're just a little bit better. If we're wealthier, we're just a little bit smarter. If we're wealthier, God just loves us a little bit more than those other people. There's just something. We don't actually ever vocalize those things, but it's in the subtext. It's right below the surface for us. It's almost like there's this hidden correlation. This is totally fictitious. It doesn't exist. But we seem to think there's a hidden correlation between wealth and IQ. As if the wealthier we get, the smarter we must be. And you know and I know that's actually not how it works. Your wealth is not an indicator of what's going on inside of you. Your wealth is not an indicator of what God sees there. Just because you're blessed financially doesn't mean that God automatically is rewarding you for what's happened inside. And just because you're struggling financially doesn't mean that God is punishing you. This notion that we have of wealth being associated with inner character, it's just false. And you've seen it at work. I actually preached on this a couple weeks ago, so if it sounds familiar, that's why. But you see this at work every time you pull up next to, at a red light, every time you pull up next to a young kid in a sports car, right? Now, you're there at the red light, and you pull up in your 12-year-old minivan, and you look to your left, and there's a 20-year-old kid, and he's got a brand new Mercedes, right? It's brand new, and it's the newest thing. I don't know what the class is, but the new class, and he's got a Rolex on his you know, wrist, and his hair is perfect, and he looks good, and he's got his hand on the wheel, and he looks over at you in your minivan, and he looks at you and looks your car over and looks you over and just goes like this. Just like that. You know why? Because he thinks he's better than you. This guy's out there, right? You know, there's one at every intersection on Long Island, okay? He's out there. He thinks he's better than you. He actually thinks his wealth and his privilege makes him better than you. He actually thinks that. And so he's just like, whatever. And you're there in your minivan. And that's why you look at him. You look at that kid. And you don't look at that kid and go, wow, there's a fine, upstanding young gentleman. He must have worked hard for that Mercedes. I'll bet he had a paper route. He must have saved up. You know, you don't think that. You look at him and you go, oh, please, dude, you didn't earn that. Your daddy bought that for you. You have a trust fund or something. You didn't earn what you have. And you're there looking down on me because I don't have as much as you, and I'm in the other car looking down on you because you're looking down on me. And so now we're kind of getting all twisted up over it. And the truth is, you know and I know that wealth is not a symbol of God's love for you. That's just not how it works, but there's going to be a temptation in your life to be a little bit more arrogant. And so Paul is telling Timothy, tell him, don't let God catch you being arrogant because of what you have. Don't let God catch you being proud because of all the stuff you've piled up around you. Be really careful with that. And then the next thing he says is, man, be careful not to lean in. As wealth accumulates, you'll lean into it and away from God. That's why he says this, teach them not to be arrogant nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain. The minute you have more than what you need, there's a temptation to lean in. That's what happens. And we here, most of us here, I think probably everybody here, we have more than what we need. We have more than we need here. We have extra here. Other parts of the world, people don't even have what they need. We have more food than we need. We have more clothing than we need. We have way more entertainment options than we need. We live indoors. We're rich, in other words, right? We have more than what we need. And the minute there's more than what we need, there's a temptation to lean into the wealth. There's a temptation to kind of make that the center and say, I'm going to rely on that and not rely on God. I'm going to make the wealth, I'm going to make my money the thing that I put my faith in and my security in, and I'm going to lean away from God. This does not happen consciously. Wealthy people don't say, you know what I'm going to do from now on? I'm going to trust my money more than God. We don't actually say that. It happens slowly. It happens quietly. It happens over time. It started happening to me at like 22 or 23 years old. I still remember being in seminary. I'm young and I was up to my eyeballs in debt. I had credit card bills, and I had a faulty transmission in my car that needed replacing, and I had all kinds of, like, there was all this financial pressure on me, and I was in seminary. Did I mention I was 22, which means I knew everything? And I just thought that because I was in seminary and because I'm now, you know, giving my life to God and serving God with my life, I just felt like I should be entitled to not have to worry about anything anymore. I just felt like because I'm entering ministry and I'm going to honor God with my life and do this as a profession, you know, I'm not just going to be a regular Christian with a regular job. I'm going to be a professional Christian. You know, I just figured that should entitle me. And I'm kind of walking around my apartment. My roommate Lance is there doing his homework. And I'm walking around my apartment at seminary. And I'm just like, man, this is ridiculous, man. If God would just take care of all this, I'd never have to worry about food again. I shouldn't have to worry about the car. I'd never have to worry about this, that, and the other. And Lance doing his homework doesn't even look up from his homework. He just goes, yeah, you never have to trust God again either. And I'm just like, dude, shut up. I was mad at him. I was really mad because he was right. At 22 years old, I wanted to have enough money in my life that I never had to trust God again. You think God wanted that for me? No way, man. Does God want me to lean into my finances, or does he want me to lean into him? He wants me to lean into him. God wants you to lean into him. God is saying to us, look, let me be God and let money be your servant. We want money to be our God and God to be our servant. That's what we want. We want money to be our God, and we want God to serve us. We want God to just do whatever we want whenever we tell him, and we want to worship money. And that's kind of how we want to set it up. And this is God saying to me as a young man, and God's still saying to me now as almost old man. He's saying, look, let me be God and let money be your servant. Lean into me. And I wanted to do that, and I still want to do that because I don't want to learn that lesson the hard way. You know what it looks like when somebody learns that lesson the hard way? Here's what that looks like. People save up their whole life, and it's all about their money, and they actually get there. They get there, and the 401k is fat, and retirement looks good, and everybody's all set, and the money's coming in, and the cars are new, and the house has a new roof, and everybody's all set, and all the I's are dotted, and there's vacations, and there's good stuff, and it's all about the Benjamins for a while. But then what happens is there's a car accident, or there's a cancer diagnosis, or there's an addiction, or there's some horrible thing that requires the hand of God on your life, and you realize all at once that all the money in the world isn't going to take care of this. You realize all at once that what you needed that whole time was God in your life, and you don't have him because you have quietly, silently, subconsciously leaned into your wealth this whole season, and now you desperately, desperately, desperately need God to intervene, and it's hard to make the connection. And that's not to say that in that moment God isn't going to step in and do something, but it is to say that it feels a lot better to have a connection with him already in that moment than to try to establish connection with him in the middle of a crisis. Did you follow that? Don't learn that lesson the hard way, church. Don't learn that lesson the hard way. Learn it now. Say, I'm going to make it my goal. Listen to what Paul says to Timothy. Don't let them be arrogant, Timothy. Teach them. Teach those wealthy people not to lean into their wealth, which is so unreliable. It's unreliable. You know that, don't you? How many of you know that money comes and money goes? Right? Oh, yeah. Okay, now hands are up. So I'm like, yeah, I used to have it, and I don't have it no more. Comes and goes. Some of you are like, I have it now, and I didn't used to have it. Well, guess what? It comes and goes. You know who doesn't come and go? The Lord Jesus Christ. He does not come and go. Lean into the giver, not the gifts. Make it your goal to establish connection and maintain connection with God that money might be your servant. Now, some of you are here today and you're like, well, how do I know? How can I tell? How do I know which way I'm leaning? You know, if it happens subconsciously and I'm not sure, here's just two quick questions that'll help you. Here's the first question. Does worry about what will be left over impede your ability to give generously? When you hear of a need, when you become aware of a need, for some of you, it's this church. Some of you love this church, and you're like, I want to support this church, and I want to tithe. Tithing is when you give 10% of what you earn away. Some of you are like, I want to tithe, and I want to do this, I'm just really worried about what I'll have left over. Others of you, it's another organization. It's Autism Awareness, the American Cancer Society, or the whatever your charity of choice is. Some of you, you come here and you hear us talking about Love 146. Rob Morris comes in once a year and talks to us about how their organization is working to stop the sexual exploitation of young children. You guys hear Nathan Lee comes in here and talks about going into prisons and singing to people about Jesus and who are inmates, and something inside of you comes up hard and you go, oh, I want to do this. I want to help. I want to be the guy to write the big check. And you want to dive in and get involved with this, and then immediately there's a, oh, I don't know. Well, I'm not sure. And what's happening in that moment, and I am not suggesting, by the way, that you just go give all your money away, but what happens in that moment is this. You are so worried about the stuff. You're so worried about the stack. You're so worried about what's going to happen to you that you deny yourself the pleasure of what it feels like to be rich. You are, you just don't know what it feels like. Because being rich and feeling rich isn't a matter of what you can amass around yourself. Being rich and feeling rich is a matter of what you give away and how you can bless others. You want to feel rich for the first time in your life? Look to be a blessing to somebody else. It'll make you feel way richer than all the stacks. Man, and I get it, I understand. It's temptation. And the more money there is, the more temptation there is. The more, did you know this? The more money there is, the harder it is to give it away. So you think it goes the other way. Some of you are here today and you're like, I'm gonna give someday. Someday I'm going to get rich. Someday I'm going to pay off this credit card. Someday I'm going to write that bestseller. Someday I'll have it, and when I have it, it'll be easy to give. Oh, loved ones, listen, if you don't learn to give now, it doesn't get easier. It doesn't become easier. The wealthier you get, the harder it is to give your money away. Did you know that wealthy people not only often give a smaller percentage of their income away, wealthy people often straight up give fewer dollars away than their less wealthy counterparts. And that's counterintuitive, isn't it? Some of you are thinking, well, that doesn't make sense. If I had more, I'd give more. And that's how it looks from your perspective. But the more money comes in, the greater the temptation to think we're a little bit better, and the greater the temptation to lean into our finances and gather that stuff around us and be more selfish with it. It's the truth. It happens all the time. The wealthier you are, the harder it is to give. And there's been tons of people just in these last couple of weeks have come up to me like, oh, dude, I could tithe when I was in my 20s. I didn't have anything. Tithing in my 20s was easy. I was broke. Now, do you know how much money I make now? Tithing on this, that's real dollars. It's harder. The more money you have, the harder it is to give it away. The easier it is to justify not doing it. The easier it is to say, oh, you know, I still give more, or I do this, or I do that, or I'll. You just find a way around it. And the whole time, what you're doing, you don't realize you're doing it. You are leaning into your wealth. And this is Paul, and this is Timothy saying, teach them. Don't let them lean into their wealth, which is so unsteady. And the second little litmus test, if you're wondering which way you're leaning, is simply this. Do you have money in the bank but no peace in your heart? Some of you are here today, you got money in the bank, you got no peace in your heart. Because your wealth has become your strong tower. Your wealth has become your fortress. And over time, you didn't realize it was happening, but you leaned into your wealth. And the more you lean into your wealth, the further you got away from God. And this is God today saying, let's reestablish this. Let's reconnect. Let me be God in your life. Understand that you're rich now. You don't have to keep chasing it because you already got there. You don't have to get rich. You just have to be rich. Follow? And you learn to be rich and you learn to feel rich when you make it your business to live an outward bound life and say, honor God and love others and serve all. See who you could be a blessing to. So what we're going to do, and I told you at the beginning that I was going to give you a challenge. And if you take me up on this challenge, it's going to change your life. Take me up on this challenge, it's going to change your life. Beginning Easter Sunday, 2 weeks from today, we're starting something in our church called the 90-Day Tithing Challenge. We're going to challenge you for 90 days, for one season of your life. For some of you, this will be the only season of your life when you do this. But we're going to challenge you for 90 days, tithe. That means give 10% of what comes in away as an offering. Give 10% away for one season of your life. And if in that season you have some kind of a financial setback, we'll just give you your money back. That's what we're going to do. For one season, just give in such a way that it's trackable. And during that season, your car breaks down, your appliances quit working, you need a dental procedure, or you just change your mind and wanted to update your wardrobe. We'll just give you your money back. That is, some of you, I know there's like a weird silence in the room right now. Some of you are like, is he serious? No, we're totally serious. This is a money back guarantee on your offerings from a church. That's what's on the table. Okay, here's why. We don't want something from you. We want something for you. We want for you. I want for you to know how good it feels to be rich and to feel rich. And I know that being rich isn't a matter of what I can accumulate around me. I know that being rich is a matter of who I can bless and how much I can give away. I know that's the truth. I know it in my own heart. I know it in my own life. And some of you have spent your whole life just gathering and gathering and gathering and more and more. And you've leaned so far into that. The idea of trying to be a blessing to others is a foreign concept. And when you do this, if you do this, if you'll take me up on this challenge, it's going to wake you up to things you've never felt before. It's going to be the most amazing thing in your life. And if you've struggled with this, if you've struggled with, I want to tithe, I want to honor God, I'm telling you, it'll never be easier than it's going to be starting Easter Sunday. For one season, for 90 days, we're giving you a safety net. You have nothing to lose. We're taking all the worry out of it. If you, some of you, you don't want to do it because you're worried about what would happen. See, this is the mind-blowing thing. We don't want to give because we worry what would happen to us. Who decides what happens to us? It's God, isn't it? Does money decide what happens to us? No, it doesn't. It's God who decides what happens to us. Why wouldn't we lean in to the giver? Why wouldn't we connect to God in a deep way? So we're asking you, this is not going to be a high-pressure sale. You're invited for 90 days, beginning on Easter Sunday. We're asking the whole church, pray about it. dive in. You have nothing to lose. You have a financial setback during that time, I promise you, no questions asked, you will get your money back. And I think during that season, we're going to see God do some amazing things, not because more money is going to come in here, but because you guys are going to learn what it feels like. Some of you, for the very first time in your life, to stop leaning into your finances and start leaning into God, those faith muscles are going to come alive, and it's just going to be ridiculous. And I can't wait to watch that happen. So I'm asking for 2 weeks, pray about it. We're going to start this Easter Sunday. Let's watch what God does, and we're going to pick it up right from here next week. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We do. And we all have it in us to feel a little bit entitled and a little bit better than others. And we all have it in us to lean into our wealth when we should be leaning into you. So we're asking, God, for each of us, one person at a time, one family at a time, give us courage enough to honor you with our finances. Give us courage enough to tell money, you will be our servant, and to say to you that you will be our God. Quicken our hearts to follow you in this. And Father, give us faith and courage to step out and trust you. In Jesus' name, amen.